Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week I chatted with Alid Haydon-Jones, head of BBC Radio 1, Alex Rata, assistant commissioner for BBC Radio 1, and Rachel McHalroy, commissioning executive for Radio 1. I asked them how they find the new talent that they feature on the Radio 1 Christmas Takeover, starting with how long the scheme has been going. But before we get into it, let's hear some of the class of Christmas 2025.
That song feels like it massages my brain. It just goes around there and just oozes it all together. It's Chelsea Little on Radio 1's Decade Anthems. 2015, I mean, what a year. We had so much music, so many different genres of music. And it was also the year that I still believed that one of the Jonas Brothers were going to realise they were in love with me.
This is the best of the BBC introducing rock of 2025. With me, Lewis Smith, stepping in for Alex Holcomb on Radio 1. And I've got this one right now from a band called New Ships. They're coming out of Glasgow. They reminded me of them early 2010s era vibes.
I cannot believe we're only 3 days away until the new year, and the word resolution is getting thrown around like there's no tomorrow. With that comes the pressure to become some sort of better version of ourselves. So we thought on today's life hacks, let's get rid of that pressure and focus on the things we want to slowly drop as the new year rolls in.
Welcome, my name is Hussey. You are listening to Radio 1 Dance. If you've just joined us, you've come at the perfect time, my friend. Whether you're about to hit the gym, go for a walk, or maybe we needed some company, I've got you with some big dance tracks.
Saturday night on Radio 1, and this is your final sound system party of 2025. Wow, I can't actually believe I'm saying that. And I know what you're thinking, I don't recognise that voice, so let me introduce myself. It is Jasmine Rodin looking after things with Jeremiah Asiyama tonight. Just me, you, and the ultimate Saturday night party for the next 2 hours.
I think this was our sixth year. We started in 2019, and considering all the fun bits we get to do at Radio 1, it's quite the statement to say, for me personally, it is the best part of the job. I don't know how you found it, Alex, because you did a lot of the calls this year.
Yeah, I've done the calls for a couple of years now, and it's kind of overwhelming being met with such a pleasure, and like people almost break down in tears, or some people like it's what they've been working hard to achieve and it's what their goal is. It's a major step in their career. Sometimes people apply for a few years in a row, so they don't necessarily expect to call back. So when we do call back, they're stunned. But yeah, it's always a joy making those calls.
And how do you go about, as a team, how do you go about finding this new talent then that you feature on Radio 1 over Christmas? Do people apply? Do you go out and talent scout? How does it work?
So we put out an open call for people to send us demos. It's usually a 2-week window in around September. And we want people to send us the best bits of radio they've done. So that can be from community radio, from student radio, or for podcasting. We want to hear them really shine behind the mic and show us what they're all about. So they send us a demo, we collect them all, and then we go through and listen to every demo. We listen to everyone, and we shortlist them into categories depending on what shows they've applied for or what sort of musical genre they're interested in. And then we create shortlists with producers on shows and other people on the 8th floor at Radio 1. And then we start piecing together the jigsaw puzzle of who should make the final cut.
Some of the years we've had over 1,100 entries in a year. And it is difficult to go through them all, but it's joyous because it's the most voice-like thing you've ever seen in radio. It's like, we obviously can't be looking at everything about them at those early stages. So there are 1,000 demos that as a team, we just listen to. So it really is about how you come across in those first few seconds in the demo. It's really great process, even if it takes quite a lot of time for the team to achieve.
And we get everything in those demos. We get some, we get lots of variation and lots of different things. It's really fun to actually go through and listen to them because there are some really exciting voices out there to be heard.
But also interesting when you consider this is what they thought would be the best opening. You know, so when you have that benefit of having 1,000 demos, one after the other, you do start to see what works and what maybe doesn't.
Yeah, I think it's surprising as well when how quickly you can hear somebody really shine. When you're listening to that many, there's the odd one that comes through and you're like, oh goodness, they are so good. They're really, really good.
What a great feeling when you find that.
Yeah.
It must take ages to go through them all. As you're going through them, do you literally just go on the voice, or do they send a supporting statement in? Is there a photograph as well?
We just go on the voice. It's all about the demo they send us and what we're hearing. So it's really important that people who are thinking of applying, they really make sure that audio counts.
And then later on in the process, towards the end of the process, we then start looking at more information about them, where in the UK they are, what they do, to make sure that there's a range of experience and personalities and interests. But it's incredible how that kind of blind process from the beginning provides such a diverse group of people by itself, which just goes to show when there's no who you know or biases, that actually you really do get a range of people.
That's incredible, actually, because I was going to ask, is there a diversity criteria? Is there anything like an upper age limit? I mean, this is Radio 1. So, you know, by its very nature, you're probably going to get people in their 20s, maybe early 30s, but you're not going to get someone in their 60s. Apply.
Oh, wait. No. We get the full range.
Really?
And actually, there is no upper limit to the age. Because
oh, wow.
The job is to entertain young audiences, whether that's under 25, which is our focus, or under 35, or I'd like to think under 45. And there's no limit to the age for someone who can do a good job in doing that. I mean, you want to tell Pete Tong he's not right for the job? You know, obviously there's expertise, whatever age you have. So we really do base it on the voice and how well they deliver on entertaining and music curation for young audiences.
That's lovely. That's lovely to know, because I think I jumped to that conclusion, made that assumption. But actually, that's really heartening to know. And also that process is literally just on the voice. So when you are listening to all these demos, what are you looking for in a presenter? What are you listening for, I should say, in a presenter? What are the standout things?
Coming from my point of view, I look after nighttime and specialist music programs. The filter that comes through with all those great new voices in those areas, what I'm looking for is real authenticity for the music that they're passionate about, a real genuine love for, let's say, rock music or dance music, whatever they've applied for. And just someone who's really warm and can sell that music in a really easy way to listeners that might not be massive fans of that genre, because it's a real skill, but just making sure that they really love the thing that they've applied for.
I always listen out for warmth, natural likability, and people that have got a bit of a spark, something interesting about them. Either they're doing a link and they found a new way to present artist, or a new feature idea that just sounds like it's something new and exciting.
And for me, it's the connection, actually. When you hear hundreds of demos, you get a general gist quite quickly of what is not average, but what is like deliverable by lots of people. So when someone then creates a connection, or is particularly funny, or particularly interesting, or particularly engaging, they really stand out. So really, it's that connection I look for. And then that begins the discussions with the rest of the teams. Like, what do you think? Did you get that same connection? Did they shine for you? And it's such a lovely process to find those personalities from across the UK.
So you found your presenters. You've now got to call them all and tell them the fantastic news. Tell me about some of the reactions that you've had over the years when people have got that call.
This is a tricky one to answer. Because
there's always tears, though.
There's always tears. I don't want to... That call is a very safe space. People are allowed to react how they want to react. To be honest, the majority of people, when I make that initial call, the majority of people don't answer these days.
No.
Because people think it's a spam call, because it's an unknown
it's
number.
Call,
so
yeah.
The amount of voicemails I leave of, "Hi, it's Alex from Radio 1. I'm just calling about your demo. Would love to speak to you. I'll try calling you again in 10 minutes.
And then when you talk to them, you're aware how little they're listening. Once they've heard that, like, that mic drop sentence that, you know, we'd like you to work with you again. We never, at the first call, say, "You're getting it." It's normally a, "Do you want to come in and let's do a pilot, or let's learn a bit more?" But as soon as they realize there is success here and they've got this stage of the process, they stop listening to anything else you're saying. So you try and keep it short.
Yeah. And I have to say about the tears, I'm not going to name and shame, but there's a couple of people who I called and I cried because they were crying.
It's emotional. It's definitely emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah, it must be. It must be so, so emotional for them to get that news. And like you say, once you've heard that initial, you know, you're coming into Radio 1 to try out. Everything else must be a blur. What is the process then? What happens next? You've given them all the call. Is there certain prep they have to do? What happens once they've been chosen?
So there's two different lanes, really. We've got the people that do daytime shows or anthem shows, which are a bit more in the mainstream category. And then we've got our nighttime presenters who are specialists in music. They're either championing a genre or they're going to cover the new music show, which is multi-genre. For the mainstream presenters, often they'll come in and they'll pilot, we'll train them up on the desk a little bit. And then that's a chance for us to hear what they're like in our studio and hear how they sound with the Radio 1 beds and IDs and all the music.
How close to the demo are they, basically?
Yeah.
For nighttime, they've got to choose their music. They've got to prep what they want to play in the show. So it's sort of different lanes.
Yeah, they get the nighttime presenters get help, obviously, from the production teams. They lean in quite heavily with helping them curate those shows. But they do have an open door policy to their music. Like, they can come with their own ideas. So it's quite a lot of work, yeah.
And then over the years, the things that have sort of changed and adapted is increasing the amount of support, because the first few years, if you were doing a daytime show, you went live on Radio 1, and there isn't a slot in the world on Radio 1 if you're live where you're not having to train people for, there will be a moment that you will wipe out mentally. You'll look at the wall or you'll see the logo, the mic will go live, and there will be a moment that you'll be like, I can't do this. Oh my gosh, this is huge.
I have no idea what I'm going to say. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, we've all been there.
Yeah, we have. Yeah.
And that's a lot, you know. So for duty of care and to ensure that people are supported, we try and pre-record that first one as much as we can. Almost all of them were pre-recorded this year. And we used the new Radio 1 Anthems DAB to help with that, and Radio 1 Dance, not just Radio 1. And then after that process, there's an opportunity for some to come back to either DEP, the evening shows, or take on a Friday early breakfast, which is a monthly rotation that we have to give another stage to people who are coming through. Because over the years, we've probably had over 170 new talented presenters come through the door. And it's quite hard to say that was it. You're on your own now. So we try to find more opportunities to develop and then lean in with production teams, more training on the desk, but also conversations with people about how they're finding it. There's a whole briefing that happens where they all get to meet each other on Teams, which Alex arranges, which is lovely because they see each other. But also that's where the conversation about your use of social, that's normally the point that most people understand that their social, which they've used for communicating between friends, are suddenly about to be a shopfront window to their brand. And newspapers and other radio stations are going to start wanting to find out more about you and who is this person. And so actually that's an encouraging time for them to look at their socials and go, how do you change those socials? If someone comes to find out more about you, are you delivering on your music genre that you're passionate about, or your interests, or whatever it is you want to be advertising to the world?
That call I would mention as well, where we get everyone together the first time, is really interesting as well, because up until that point, it's been secret. We've only known the names. No one else knows the names. They don't know who else has been selected. And there's always people that come on that call and they see their friend, or they see someone else they've worked with before in the industry, and they're like, oh my God, it's you. We've both made it. So it's another little fun bit of the process.
They are all covering existing shows. I mean, it's Christmas time and they're covering. So how much of themselves can they put in to those shows? Because you, when you're covering, you really kind of have to respect the format of the show and respect the presenter who normally has that show. So how much can they kind of make it their own?
What's helpful is that it's the entire week. The process is advertised as Boxing Day to New Year. The press release goes out the whole week. All Radio 1 presenters are taken off. I suppose if they were covering a single presenter on their own, that pressure would be greater, I think, about how do I stay to this show? Whereas this whole process is about the whole week is new. So I think they feel more freedom because of it. The production teams feel a lot of freedom. And also with it being Boxing Day to New Year's Day, routine is out the window. So there's lots of new opportunities for audiences to catch Radio 1. So it just feels like there's enough difference to give them that space.
from a nighttime perspective, one of the things I always say on the call that we do at the start of the process is no broadcasting robots. So you don't want to come and be, say, the rock show presenter and try and impersonate Dan P. Carter. But at the same time, you need to keep the ethos of that show. You don't want to come and present it as the chillest presenter. You have to keep the heart of the show, but we want them to present that specialist music show in their own way and to bring their own thoughts and passion to that.
And that's actually one of the hardest things for everyone to achieve, actually, because I don't know whether it's, I mean, everyone does it or most people do it. So there must be something to this, but people try to be a Radio 1 presenter. And that's actually one of the hardest things to convince them to not try to do. Like, you have been picked, we want you. So having that confidence for them to be them on the radio is what the majority of the work goes into, rather than trying to be the next Greg James or be the next Vic Hope.
Tell me about what's happened to any previous presenters' careers now since they did the Christmas cover. Have you got success stories you can share with us?
It is really nice to be looking out over the industry and seeing so much success from this process. It's really so rewarding. Radio 1, I mean, we kind of get first dibs, as you'd hope. And we put the training in and around 15, 16 presenters across Radio 1 and Radio 1 Dance are on the schedule now because of this process. But then it's also nice when other radio stations, it can be frustrating, I can be honest, if there is a competition to get someone because clearly they shone. But on the whole, that's so wonderful for them that that happens, that other stations are involved in the process. They hear who we pick, they read up about them and they like them to the point that they can come forward and offer them roles. And there are dozens of those across the industry. And that is so lovely to see.
If someone's listening to this and they think, right, when the call out comes in September, I'm going to make a demo. I'm going to stick my hat in the ring for this. What's the one piece of advice you would all give them? What's your top piece of advice each?
So difficult to limit to one. Be distinctive. Listen to what you're doing. Compare it against your peers, other people who are at the same level as you. Every year, there's a trend that goes around, normally around that time of year. I think this year it was Chapel Roan and previous years it was Charlie XCX. And we get so many demos that are saying the same thing or riffing on the same artist or sort of trend that's happening. So really think about what you're doing and is it distinctive or is it just going to blend into what everyone else is talking about?
From nighttime and specialist perspective, I'd say know what you're applying for. Don't try and be a jack of all trades. Oh, I could do rock show, chilli show, dance show. No, no, you can't. Where's your strengths? What do you want to apply for? Which genre is it that you're applying for? And make sure that demo is aimed for that show.
And I would say front load your demo with your genuinely best bit. The hellos, here's a little bit about me, may not be the right thing to start with. There's nothing wrong with going in on the bit that you go, I've made everyone laugh with that link when it went out or when I did this in the past. So I'll start there. And then that will grab our attention the most.
A big thank you to Alid, Alex and Rachel. And keep an eye on Radio 1's socials later in the year for the call out for Christmas 2026. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the Radio Academy podcast. And if you fancy leaving us a review, we'd be ever so grateful. Thank you. Get going on your ARIAs entries now because time is running out and you can make a start on them on our website and then edit them right up to the deadline. So go to radioacademy.org for more details. Our next Foot in the Door event is on the 12th of March at the University of Essex in Colchester. Tickets are £12 for non-members and £6 for members of the Academy. And this is a fantastic event for anyone wanting to get into the audio industry. Tickets are on sale now at radioacademy.org/training. I'll see you next week.